title of today's sermon is home. What do you think of when I say home? Okay, for some of us older folks who might have had many homes, okay, what do you think of when you hear the word home, or hear the description home? What comes to mind? I want everybody, this will help, everybody close your eyes, okay, with me. Close your eyes and think of home. What do you see in your mind's eye? Home. For some of us, it was maybe an ancestral home, someplace where you grew up with your parents. For someone like me, I've had many homes since I've been married. This is where I grew up. This was my family home. My maternal grandmother built that house, and I grew up there with my brothers. Had many good times. Christmas, huh? Christmas time. Easter, many good meals. Many home-cooked meals. You think of home. Home. This is where Amy grew up. I took a picture of her house. She's the one in the middle. That's where Amy grew up. That's where I met her. And she became my wife because she was pretty smart. Yeah. So what is home for you? What do you think about home? Home. Good meals? Family fellowship? Children running around? My home is still full of kids. Me and Amy are married almost 40 years, and all the grandkids like to come to our house. And so that means that I need to pack in at least a case of Doritos, okay? I'm thinking of getting a keg system for Mountain Dew. That way there's enough Mountain Dew. We go through many 2-liter bottles of that, you know. But it's good to have family there, right? It's good to have your kids there. Home. Home, right? And that's where we live now. And actually, it's not quite that long, but when I took a picture and try and get it to fit in the PowerPoint, I stretched it out so you can see it. So it's probably only half that size. It's, you know. But I want you to think about home. Right now, the world's in a mess, isn't it? If anybody's just looking at the news or just looking at stuff, there's a whole lot of mess going on. And Jesus talked about it. He said there'd be rumors of wars and wars. There'd be earthquakes and tornadoes and floods. And just seems to be a mess, right? Anybody, there's a mess going on. Well, what's the end of all this? I mean, what does God have planned for us? Is this going to continue and just get messier and messier? No. In John, Jesus spoke to us, and he was getting ready to leave. He was getting ready for the crucifixion. He was talking to his disciples, and he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I want you to think about that. That's not just a statement, that's a promise. Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, he's talking to his disciples that he had there, and who are we? Are you disciples of Christ? Yes, you are. We're disciples of Christ. So that promise comes to us also. He's going to prepare a place. And he said, if I go and prepare that place, I'm going to come back and get you. Well, what does that place look like? Have you ever thought about that? When you leave this earthly place, where do you think you're going? With all the crazy stuff that's going on in your world, I want you to forget about that. And I want you to look forward. Put your heart in places that are not here. We're just passing through this place. You ever thought about that? You're just a visitor. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, you're just passing through. You're a traveler in a strange land. Right? It's strange out there. Just about everywhere you go, you see all kinds of strange sights. Right? We're strangers in this world. Because of what Christ has done for us, we are passing through. So where are we headed? It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. I want to tell you something. Satan wants you to watch the news. He wants you to see all the crazy stuff going on, all the scary things out there. And he wants you to be scared. Are you scared? No, I'm not scared. That stuff is all going to pass away. This is all going to pass away. We're to put our minds and our hearts and our souls and our thoughts on things above. What things above? How about love? True love, agape love, the kind of love that God showed to us when he sent his son to pay the debt we couldn't pay. Put those things above. Think of those things. I want you to think about that. We're just passing through. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad I'm just passing through. Do you want to stay here forever and get older and older and grayer? Loose of hair? A little bent over? Ooh! I don't want to be here. I'm thinking of things above. I'm thinking of things above. Do I love my family? Yes. Do I want to be with them? Yes. But I want to bring them with. Think of things above. Our new home. Kind of hard to get someone to paint a picture of the New Jerusalem. I want you to think about that. Our new home. And as we turn to Revelation chapter 21, there is a description. Someone saw what this looked like. And it was the Apostle John. And Jesus gave him this revelation. He said, write it down. I don't want my children to be in the dark. I want them to understand what's coming, what I have for them. So starting in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, let us read God's word. And this is John describing what he saw. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. Jesus told John that this is all going to go away. This earth is going away. These heavens are going to go away. And that means he's going to create new. New. Who likes new? I like new. You like new clothes? Yeah. Maybe a new car or a new truck or a new tool. Oh, us guys, we like tools. A new tool. Boy, do I like new tools. Yeah. What about you ladies? A new dress? A new hairstyle? Maybe. New's good. New's going to really be good. Picking up in verse 2, John says, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Jesus is creating a new Jerusalem. And Jerusalem's a city. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and I will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. We're going to get to live with God and have an intimate relationship with him in this new city. Extraordinary. And in verse 4 we read, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Now, there's a promise that you can really sink your teeth into. No more pain, no more death, no more crying in pain. I think there'll be a little crying in joy. I know I'm going to be crying in heaven. Oh, my goodness, Lord, thank you so much for what you did for me. And in verse 5, we read, "And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.' And then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. And he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Really strong words there. Really strong words. That means there won't be any sin in this heavenly Jerusalem. There won't be any wrongdoing. That will be done away with. That is our new home. It is going to be the most glorious place that you can think of. I can hardly imagine it. And someone tried to draw it. I don't know how well that looks. Can you guys see that pretty good? Can you imagine the glory in this new Jerusalem? Shining. And in verse 9 we read, "Then one of the angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, 'Come here, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like the very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and the 12 gates were the angels, and the names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the son of Israel. And there were 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, 3 gates on the west." There's 12 entrances into this city, 3 on each side. So it looks like we have a square city. "And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with a rod 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its wall 72 yards according to a human measurement, which are also angelic measurements. The material of the wall was jasper. The city was pure gold like clear glass." Anybody have any gold rings? Like a wedding band or something? Everybody's seen gold, right? Can you see through it? If you, take a piece of gold, can you look through it? Well, the gold in this city is so pure, it's transparent. The purity of this building, and it's a physical building that we're going to inhabit it. 1,500 miles square. Width, height, depth, 1,500 miles. Can you imagine that? 1,500 miles. It's enormous. There's more than enough room in there for all the people who have accepted Christ as their Savior, all the people from the Old Testament who didn't understand what was going to happen with Christ coming, the Messiah, but they put their faith in God. And like Abraham, because of his faith, God accredited to him righteousness. 1,500 miles. Billions of people could live in this place. Can you imagine what it's going to look like? It doesn't say anything about a trolley. Think there's any trolleys in this building? I don't think so. But you remember when the Lord Jesus in his glorified body, he could walk through closed doors. He could think and be in a certain place. That's how we're going to be. We're going to have a glorified body like the Lord Jesus. You won't need a trolley. You can, in this heavenly realm, you could think in your mind, I'd like to go visit the Apostle Paul. You just traveled 700 miles across the city and you're with Paul. That's how extraordinary this place is going to be. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, crystallite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. Oh, by the way, amethyst is my favorite stone of my wife. She loves amethyst. She's going to really like this city. She has a whole foundation of amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Can you imagine the oyster that had to make that pearl? I bet you those doors are probably 15 feet high by 15 feet wide. Had to be bigger because there's only three doors in each side, and the side is 1,500 miles long, so I'm way off on that door size, but can you imagine the size of this pearl? The doors are made of pearl. I can't wait to get there. How about you guys? Am I painting a picture you want to get there? I know Whitey's in the back. He's smiling going, hey, beam me up, Scotty. And I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. I want you to think about that. There's a new heaven coming with a new earth where this city's going to be, and it doesn't need the sun, it doesn't need the moon. Why? Because the glory of God is going to light it up. We're going to bask in the glory of God for all eternity. There's no night there. So I'm not sure we're going to get to, you know, take a nap if we want. Right now, I take naps in the afternoon just to get through the day. Have you imagined that? When you're born, your mom puts you down for a nap. And when you're old, your wife puts you down for a nap. And believe me, I need a nap, about 45 minutes, and then I'm ready to go. And it says here that the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want you to think about that. Only the names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will get into this city. That's why we love God, love others, and go. To tell people about Jesus. We want their names written in that Lamb's Book of Life. You want your family members' names written in there. You want your friends' names written in there. And that's being selfish on your part, because you need to go out into the streets of the world and say, look what Jesus has done for you. That is our purpose. That is why we're a church. We're the church. Jesus said, go, talk to these people, explain what I have for them, so that their names get written in the Lamb's Book of Life. David, Claude, Webster, I praise God that he put my name in that book. Now we need to go out and talk to other people. Tell them to get their names written in that book. Accept Christ. So what else is going to be in this wonderful city? What else? Now that, I really looked for a picture of trying to find this. But this is a street in that New Jerusalem. How's it look? I could have did better, I guess. I looked and looked. But I want you to think about that. And this is John talking again in chapter 22. He said, then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. What's John talking about here? A curse? What curse? Is there a curse going on? In the beginning, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God cursed this creation. Cursed the earth. That's why things rot. That's why rust happens. It wasn't always like that. But we have to deal with it right now. That's why you got to take your truck into the shop and have them spray the interior so it doesn't rust. But he says right here, there's not going to be any curse there. The curse is done. It's gone. That's why we grow old in age, because of the curse. And I thank God for that. Who wants to stay in this body and live forever? It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Do you ever think about this? The AI that's coming, this artificial intelligence, they want to make robotic bodies to put their consciousness in so that they can live forever. That's what it's about. That's what's going on. They're making robots, especially over in China. You look some of this stuff up, they got robotic things they're making. Eventually, the people of this world who are fallen want to put their consciousness into a robot like that and live forever. Ain't going to work. The batteries are going to wear out. It says in verse 4, they will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. Can you imagine Jesus' name on your forehead? That means you belong to him. You don't belong to yourselves. You've been purchased with an incredible price. Life of the Son of God. He loves you so much that he purchased you from death. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of the lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And this is Jesus speaking. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. Worship God. that river in that city, the water of life is going to be flowing from the throne of God, and we're going to be able to drink from it. We're going to eat from those trees. Can you imagine how wonderful that food is going to taste? What an extraordinary place that we are heading to. I don't know when we're going to get there. I'm not a prophet, I don't know. But I do see the signs of the times. We can see all the things that are falling apart around our world. And this is getting closer and closer. That we're going to have an eternal home forever to be with the Lord. That should bring joy to your heart. Joy. And there's going to be a new earth. Can you imagine what Eden looked like before Adam and Eve's fall? All the animals were in there playing, having a good time. The gazelles, the lions, the tigers, the raccoons, the chipmunks. All of them were all playing together. And that's where we were supposed to live, to enjoy their company, God's creation. Now, we already discussed and I already talked to you about how big this city is going to be, but in relationship to the earth, this is a pretty close relationship of what it's going to look like. 1,500 miles square. John describes the size of New Jerusalem in Revelation 21:16, stating the city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length and height are equal. This city that is going to come out of heaven onto a new earth, Eden-like place, is enormous. Can you imagine 1,500 miles? What does that look like? That is roughly about from the East Coast, we'll say Pennsylvania, all the way out to Colorado. Anybody ever drive to Colorado? Depending on what you're driving, it could take 3 days, especially if you have teenagers with you in the truck. Got to stop and get snacks. Got to stop and go to the bathroom. Got to stop because you're tired, right? I can only drive so far. I used to be able to drive a lot longer, but not anymore. But can you imagine that? A city, one city, from the East Coast out towards Colorado, roughly. Enormous. And that is what the Lord Jesus is creating for us. I don't know if he's finished it yet. We don't know. It doesn't say in the scriptures. But he promised that that was what he was going to do. He said, if I go, I'm going to come back and get you and take you to be with me. Doesn't that make you feel wonderful inside? That God loved you so much that his son is going to come and take you from here to be with them forever. You're going to get fed. You're going to have the best health care. You won't need it. You're going to have a wonderful place to be. I'm not sure what he's going to have us doing. It doesn't say in there, but I bet that the Lord has work for us to do, creative work. God is a creator, and he created us in his image, and we create things. Somebody created that. Somebody created a computer. Somebody created, built this building. There's going to be work for you to do in heaven. And it's going to be wonderful work. You're going to enjoy it all the time. And we get to spend our entire eternity with God, learning about him, loving him, praising him, being joyful that he saved us. That should make you feel wonderful inside. So I end this sermon with, love God, love others, and let's go and get as many people as we can talk to come with us. It's going to be an extraordinary trip with an almost, not almost, it will be a heavenly destination. Doesn't that make you excited?
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.